I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. It's Giving Tuesday. Find somebody to give. Even if it's just a hug, give someone a hug. Like Adam Schiff. He's talking right now, and I could make you listen to it, but then you'd turn the radio, then you'd turn the show off, so we're not going to do that right now. We're going to talk to somebody who's way cooler than Adam Schiff, and his name is Aubrey Huff. And if you're trying to place Aubrey Huff, you shouldn't have to think too hard, because you might remember a 7-game series the St. Louis Cardinals were in the NLCS in 2012. Didn't quite go our way here in St. Louis. Aubrey Huff, part of that, ending up to be a World Series championship team with the San Francisco Giants, joins us now. Aubrey, it's great to have you on the show today.
Annie, thanks for having me on. And oh my gosh, who isn't cooler than Adam Schiff?
Well, I can't think of very many people. He's speaking right now, and he's saying all of the things that you would expect Adam Schiff to say that he could have said at the very beginning of this impeachment inquiry. So we're just going to skip that, and we're going to talk to you because you tweeted something out, and you made everybody on Twitter cry. The snowflakes just started to melt.
Oh, man, I tell you, it was one of those things. I took my kids to the gun range, and it's probably the third time we've gone. Just teach them on gun safety, how to shoot a gun. I grew up in Texas, and, you know, when I was younger, my dad did that with me when I was 5 years old. And I just thought, you know what, let's make a fun, kind of funny post. It wasn't meant to be taken so serious, but, man, what I found out was the people on the left really don't have a sense of humor. So, I think a lot of it was like, wow, the groupings suck. I mean, burying kids about how they shoot a gun. And, you know, under no circumstances did I ever, like, threaten Bernie Sanders, but that's what they took it as. And, you know, socialism in America, if it comes here, I mean, I just thought it'd be funny to say, hey, you know what? The way things are in Venezuela, it'd be nice to know how to handle a gun if that ever happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You can look at many examples of where socialism has been put into play around the world. It's very, very hard, if not impossible, to find a place where socialism is in play and is causing anything to thrive. You make this comment on Twitter, and you've got celebrities of all sorts coming after you and trying to wage their, you know, keyboard wars with you. And I have to say, I was laying in bed reading through your timeline, at the way you were going back at these individuals and just calling them out, and you had no fear, and it was a very, very, I was just laughing out loud. It was like midnight, and I'm laughing out loud at these responses. My question to you is, you know, you're a former baseball player, you had a lot of success, you are a household name around this country for anybody who pays attention to baseball, and you're unashamed of your Second Amendment right, which we all have here in the United States. Why do you feel okay with just putting something out there like that today and telling people your political thoughts? What makes you feel like it's an okay thing to do, or maybe an important thing to do?
Well, it's always been who I am. I was the kind of guy in a clubhouse where I always kept the clubhouse loose. I like to mess with the guys, have fun. And you got to have some thick skin when you play in the Major League Baseball, especially in not only from the media side, but what you don't know is in the clubhouse, guys get on you. You rag on guys and you have a great time. You know, you got to have that witty banter and that good comeback. And I always kind of grew up with that, and I always had that. And my thing is, you know, just go out there. And for me, as a conservative, I've seen what's happening in this country. They're taking away our right to breathe, our right to free speech, right to guns, and, you know, our freedom of religion is under attack. And I don't see a lot of pushback, a lot more fight. And there's a lot more fight on the left, you know, when it comes to the screaming and the crying. And you don't see a lot of conservatives doing that. Which I think is because conservatives are a little bit more grown up and not as childish. But you know what? I don't have a job. I'm a retired ex-baseball player. I don't work for MLB Network. I'm a volunteer coach with my kids about every sport they're in. I just don't feel like, I think everybody's just scared in the conservative community to speak out against these people because of fear of losing their jobs. The majority of people, I believe, that are liberals or they're on Twitter trolls that are crying are the ones that don't have jobs anyway. So they're allowed to go on there and cry. And their identities, they're ashamed to have their identity. up there with a little blue check mark. You don't even know who they are. So it's easy to be tough behind a keyboard.
We're speaking with Aubrey Huff, a former Major League Baseball player, also a world champion, and just a guy on Twitter who said some things that made some people just melt down. You know, when you talk about the conservative community, and you've been in the clubhouse, you've been in front of cameras, you've played on massive stages, certainly baseball is just, you're under the microscope. Anything you do is potentially going to be blown up into a much bigger deal if it catches the right wind. I think the conservative community, you know, I look at your beliefs. Your beliefs aren't radical beliefs. Your beliefs are actually pretty common, and I think they're pretty common across the country for people who will never have the blue check mark, who will never be in front of a camera on a big stage like a Major League Baseball game. But they're really made out to be controversial and shocking to people. How do you think you identify as somebody who is a former Major League Baseball player, a lot of notoriety, to the average American voter across the country?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just trying to make my voice heard, my First Amendment rights. And, you know, I support Trump. Obviously, I'm a conservative Christian. I grew up in the great state of Texas. And, you know, I was raised a certain way. That's my beliefs and my opinions and my values. And I'm not afraid to talk about those things and to share my beliefs. And, you know, if you don't like it, I don't really care. I'm not into social media for the followers. I'm in it for the fun. I enjoy seeing how worked up people can get. It's hilarious to me. I don't understand why everybody gets so worked up over one person's beliefs. It's, you know, like when I saw Kathy Griffin attack me on Twitter when I made that post.
Yeah.
She said, this dumb effer right here.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Didn't you use a cut off Donald Trump fake plastic head with a knife pretending to cut his head off and my kids learning to shoot a gun wanting to protect themselves from socialism? I talk about hypocrisy. And I'm not afraid to punch back. It just, to me, it's funny. You got a lady like that, D-list celebrities. Tom Arnold came after me. So it's been a pretty interesting week. And what I found out is I had 14,000 followers last week on Twitter, which is, you know, I don't care about followers, but it just goes to show me now I have 31,000. In a week, I gained like 17,000 followers. It just goes to show me the silent majority that's in Twitter that hits the like button, they may not comment because of fear of getting ridiculed. But that's the silent majority that got Donald Trump voted in 2016, and will do so again in 2012.
We're speaking with Aubrey Huff, a former Major League Baseball player who sent out a tweet. You took your kids to the gun range. You're just teaching them how to properly exercise their Second Amendment rights. And I think that was an interesting part. I'm a parent. I have three kids myself, 9, 7, and 3. And educating your kids on these things is important. The most responsible thing you can do is educate them on how to be responsible for it, as opposed to, you know, make it a scary thing so that if they're ever confronted in a situation where that is involved, they know how to react. It's a good parent thing to do, and that's what you were saying. The response you're getting from the left was quite the opposite, and I saw a lot of people tweeting at you very violent statements towards you. The hypocrisy that exists on the other side, it never ceases to amaze me.
Well, it's funny, you know, a lot of them are, you know, kind of, it looks like you're training up two future school shooters right here. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, for me, you should have seen the smiles on my boys' faces and how high their head was held high, their chest sticking out when they walked out of that gun range. That's a great father-son thing for boys and their dads to do. It was a great bonding experience. They learned how to properly use a gun. I've been teaching them that, how to shoot a gun, how to safely operate one. It was in a controlled environment. I don't know if everybody was so worried about me teaching them how to shoot a gun, but how the tweet read. Mm-hmm. They were just worried that I was going to shoot. There had to be 1,000 people that tagged the FBI and Child Protective Services to come get me. I'm like, what? What? Good luck with that. Not one. I didn't get one call from the FBI. I flew to Thanksgiving to Houston to visit my family with no problems. And it's just what the left is trying to do to silence people, it just drives me nuts. And, you know, we're under attack, and I'm not going to take it.
So let me ask you this. You don't have to out anybody, certainly, but you mentioned in one of your tweets that there are a lot of people in the industry of professional sports, specifically baseball, that fit somewhere on the line of conservative or possibly Republican. Do you find that to be the case in professional sports, where maybe there's a pretty strong contingent of conservatism? They're not going to go out and say it now necessarily, especially if they're active players, probably don't want that distraction. But is conservatism pretty strong among athletes?
1,000%. Well, most, I know quite a few hockey players and quite a few obviously ex-baseball players and current baseball players. And I know in the locker rooms I played in over the years, for 13 years in the big leagues, I would say by and large over 70% of the players in that clubhouse are conservative. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact, my big 3 years was with the San Francisco Giants winning two World Series, as you stated earlier. And that's kind of where I made my name for myself. And, you know, obviously that's the biggest liberal city in the world. So you got a lot of these San Francisco Giants fans wishing to me on Twitter, I'd never played for the Giants, take my rings away. What they don't understand is about 75-80% of that team, including the staff, was probably a little bit more leaning on the conservative side. So it just kind of makes me laugh.
Aubrey, this is Ryan Wiggins. I was looking at some of these texts, and you said it. You were in San Francisco, so maybe you're getting more attention from Hollywood than you would if you were here playing for the Cardinals. But Colin Hanks was one that I just couldn't believe. He said, "I'm done with Aubrey Huff. Such a bummer when an athlete you like turns out to be a misogynistic a-hole. I don't get how misogyny comes into you going to a gun range."
And who the heck is Colin Hanks?
Well, yeah.
Exactly. When I read that, I saw the blue check mark. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? So I looked him up. I realized he was Tom Hanks' son. And right. I tweeted back at him. I was like, you know, it's a major disappointment when an actor you never heard of turns out to be the son of a famous actor. And I had no idea who Colin Hanks was. And
it cuts
that
deep.
Got some track.
Are you still in California or have you moved back to Texas?
No, I'm trying to escape, but I can't. My ex and I share custody of our kids here in Southern California, and she loves it here. I'd like to leave, but it is what it is. You know, it's Southern California. It's beautiful here, but, you know, it's very liberal, and you know, I get some tough looks here. But hey, roll with the punches.
Well, Aubrey, I live across the river in St. Louis here in Illinois, so I know a little bit about oppressiveness with highly Democratic-controlled state governments. Do you ever get mad enough that you think you might want to politically do something about it?
You know, I'm not really well-versed on a lot of the aspects of the political side of the arena. I'm very common sense when it comes to those kind of things. As far as, you know, how it all works, from Congress and all this stuff, I'd have to study up on a little bit more. But, you know, I feel like, you know what, if Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or any of these, you know, hell, Joe Biden can be up there. I think I could probably go up there and make a – any of these guys. Have you heard some of the stuff they've been talking about up there?
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, the AOC, if she can be in politics, I mean, hell – I don't think I'm any dumber than these people, so it can't be that tough.
So, that is your first campaign commercial right there. Not any dumber than they are.
And that's our promo of the day right there.
Fantastic. Well, Aubrey, we'll be watching for your campaign, and I would say the more common sense, less swampy creatures we could get in the Illinois government, the better, I'd imagine. I have to say, as an Illinois resident, we usually watch what California is doing, and 5 years later, here we go. Chicago's got us down the same road. So I encourage you to look into it a little bit more, and thank you for tweeting, and thank you for squeezing us in your afternoon. We really appreciate it here.
And it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks. On Twitter, at Aubrey_Huff. I mean, seriously, you were reading through some of these tweets.
I didn't know it was going to be that intense. I mean,
the way he claps back.
Oh, yeah. He goes after the jugular.
Yeah.
But it's because people came after him so hard. I mean, some of these Hollywood tweets are astounding, and they shouldn't be. I mean, we talk about it ad nauseum that Hollywood's going to do what Hollywood does, but it's amazing. I mean, some of these attacks don't make any sense. Misogyny?
Yeah, that does not. It's like you reach into your snowflake grab bag of things you can call bad
buzzwords.
White males, and you pull it out, and you're like, misogynist, that'll work.
Right.
Mark Ruffalo tweeted, this doesn't have to do with the gun tweet that he sent out initially. Mark Ruffalo tweeted, it's time for an economic revolution. Capitalism today is failing us, killing us, and robbing from our children's future. And Aubrey retweeted it and said, aren't you worth $30 million from playing pretend on the big screen? That's called hashtag capitalism. You're ballsy enough to dish out your hard-earned money. Are you ballsy enough to dish out your hard-earned money in support of Bernie Sanders' socialist utopia? Ironic, Bruce Banner in Marvel Studios is a genius. In real life, you lack common sense. Go follow Aubrey on Twitter and tell him the Andy Price Show says hi. It's really, really entertaining. And really cool that he came on with us. Like, he doesn't need to come on to a St. Louis midday talk show.
Yeah, nothing
and,
in it.
And react to it.
Doesn't have a book.
Yeah.
Just a cool dude.
Just a cool dude. Thank you, Aubrey Huff. Thank you for your tweet and for clapping back the way you are and giving us some time. Let's take a quick break. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show. 314-241-9797. What's the area code here? I'm new. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back to the Annie Price Show. I'm reading a news story right now. It says sushi sold at Trader Joe's, Walgreens, and other chains recalled over listeria concerns. Why are you buying your sushi at Walgreens? Can you get that with your HSA? Maybe you can.
Yeah, I've never seen Walgreens sushi before. And I've eaten bad sushi. Not sure I'd do Walgreens sushi.
This is a KSDK story. Fuji Food Products has voluntarily recalled several of its ready-to-eat sushi, salads, and spring roll products sold to retailers and distributors along the East Coast and Upper Midwest. So if you bought some of that Walgreens sushi, you might want to reconsider.
Sushi that can be eaten beyond the day that it was made is bad.
I've never had sushi.
Ugh.
Does that surprise
you? Are
you
willing to try?
No.
Why? Just because of the idea of it? I know you're not very food venturous.
I am. What is the opposite of food? My family has...
The opposite is McDonald's.
McDonald's is good. Go to facebook.com right now, /Annie Fry Show, and you can see the double cheeseburger that you influenced Fitzpatrick to order today to recover from being medium drunk at the Christmas party. Which I wasn't there, so I don't even know if she was medium.
What would it take for you to eat sushi if I brought some sushi in?
Does it have seafood in it?
Yes.
I won't do it.
What if it didn't? Would you consider it?
What would it be?
Vegetables.
Well, I'll eat vegetables.
Or what about shrimp?
No.
You don't like shrimp at all?
No.
You don't like seafood at all?
None.
Nothing?
Not one piece or thing.
So you wouldn't do eel?
Well, I don't know. Let me consider eel.
Because that's my favorite.
No.
Oh, man. You're really missing out.
I bet I am.
Not only is it good, but it makes you feel good. Me and my wife call it a sushi high after you eat it.
Really?
Yeah.
My boxing trainer, his name is Chris, and he is from Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And I disappoint him every day because I eat like a child. I don't eat unhealthily. There are a few things that I eat, and I'm okay with that. I was going to say, in my family, we call it being a rut lover. You get into the rut, and you just, like, want to live there. And if you could dig a little deeper into that rut, you would feel more comfortable.
Well, you can add things to ruts.
Mm-mm.
And just stay in new ruts.
You can't be a lover of new ruts.
The problem with sushi, I can tell you right now, and the reason
is
that
listeria.
You should not start eating it, has nothing to do with diseases that you can contract from eating it.
It's too expensive.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, it's
right. It's outrageous. Even if you get the stuff at the grocery store, it's just too much.
I have no problem with people eating seafood. Or when we were at Disney World last year, my husband in Epcot went into Japan and got some like legit sushi made by the people. Because in the World Showcase in Epcot, the people who work in the Japan Pavilion are from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is legit stuff. And I was like, he's like, you want to taste something? I'm like, heck no.
This is your husband?
Yeah.
And so he does like it.
Oh, he's adventurous.
Oh.
He'd try anything.
Oh, okay.
It's gross.
I thought this was a family problem.
No. It's a me problem. And I have to work really hard not to allow my kids to be exposed to my aversions to things. Because I know that they'll like things if they try it. I just don't want to try it.
Does it stop with sushi or is it any foreign food? Do you like any Asian food?
Not particularly.
Oh, man.
Like Chris always wants me to eat Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come eat Thai food with me. You'll love it. I'm like, I probably won't.
From somebody who's offering to make it for
Let's
you
go
from
get
Thailand.
Barbecue.
Oh, man.
Or Italian or Mexican. I like that.
Is it that you've never tried it or you've tried it and didn't like it?
I would honestly say that I have not, that I won't eat things even though I have not tried them on a regular basis, but I have no interest to do it. And if I don't have any interest in, like, I guess there was a point in my life where I was thinking, if I don't want to do this, why am I venturing out into trying
because you're missing
new
out
food things? But I I'm not, because I'm happy,
like,
with what I'm eating.
But it's like,
because I love the rut that I'm in.
I've never been to Disney.
Sure.
But then you told me how great it is. Mm-hmm. And so now I have to go try it.
Well, you're a better person than me.
Okay, fair. Let's just end it there.
Do we agree?
Yes.
Frank, who's a better person, Ryan or me?
So how's Adam Schiff doing?
You want to play that Adam Schiff now? Did you just vote for Adam Schiff over both of us?
I did not.
That sucks.
I said, how's he doing?
He's talking about things. Let's.
I like Ryan. He's nice.
Thanks.
I like
Thanks,
Annie.
Buddy.
She's nice.
Oh, cool.
As Tony LaRusso always said, tied for first.
Tied for first. Yeah, that's right. No, I don't enjoy experimenting with foods. I've never, and I know that is what some people live for. I just don't.
We should listen to Adam Schiff and then just go right back into this food conversation
without any
with no commentary.
Acknowledgement. So Adam Schiff was reacting to the House Intel report that was released a couple hours ago, maybe, I guess, in the 12 o'clock hour. This is the report that I suppose the Intelligence Committee put together as a whole, but it's obviously controlled by Democrats. It's obviously led by Adam Schiff. And he took a couple of questions after he gave his spiel, which is a bunch of stuff that you already knew he was going to say. Let's listen into some of his questions.
It sure sounds like you support impeaching the president. Do you support impeaching and then the Senate removing him from office?
I'm going to reserve any kind of a public judgment on that until I have a chance to consult with my colleagues, with our leadership. And I think this really needs to be a decision that we all make as a body. So I'm going to continue to reserve judgment. But I, as you can tell, I am gravely concerned that if we merely accept this, that we invite not only further corruption of our elections by this president, but we also invite it of the next president. So I am keenly aware of the significance of the precedent we set in whatever direction we move. And I'm also very strongly guided by the fact that one of the seminal moments in this scheme took place the day after Bob Mueller testified, the day after Donald Trump thought that the last investigation was over, he began the next significant step in a new course of misconduct.
Yes. Given that you said there's more investigating to be done, do you feel like presenting the strongest possible case here that you're providing to the Judiciary Committee, or would the case be stronger if you had more time to do this extra investigation?
Well, I would say a couple of things. First of all, as I mentioned, we continue to investigate whether this scheme began earlier than expected, whether this scheme also involved the last president of Ukraine. But look, we have provided overwhelming evidence in this report of a scheme to pressure the current president of Ukraine to conduct these political investigations. Will it move others if we're able to show that this was not the first time, this was the second time? I think what we have produced in remarkable short order is so overwhelming that it ought to be presented to the Judiciary Committee now without any further delay. If we do uncover additional evidence and we do learn more every day, we will feel free to file supplemental reports to the Judiciary Committee. But there is, I think, grave risk to the country with waiting until we have every last fact, when we already know enough about the president's misconduct to make a responsible judgment about whether we think that's compatible with the office of the presidency.
Chairman, do the phone records cast doubt on anything you heard from the witnesses or anything the president has said publicly?
No, they don't. At least that I can identify at this moment. I think the phone records are remarkably consistent with the coordination of a lot of this scheme. Now, we obviously don't have complete phone records, and some of the phone records are deeply suggestive of who the parties were talking to, particularly in the White House or the Office of Management and Budget. But because of the president's effort to stonewall investigation, including not turn over their own phone records, not only to us, but to witnesses like Sondland who asked for them, we don't have all of the answers. But we do know this without any doubt, and that is the president of the United States solicited foreign interference in our election and used the power of his office, the power to convene a meeting in the Oval Office, the power to provide or withhold hundreds of millions of dollars of aid to an ally at war to get his political dirty work done. The only question is how more extensive was the scheme, how many others may have been involved, what was the full knowledge and participation of other parties. And while we intend to get the answers to those questions and let the American people know the full facts, we do not intend to delay when the integrity of the next election is still at risk.
So Adam Schiff there taking questions, and I have to say, you know what he sounds exactly like when he's talking?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
That is what he sounds like, the guy on Billy Madison who is conducting the contest to see if Billy Madison will in fact graduate so he can win the company that his dad said he wasn't responsible enough to graduate.
Because it just sounds like words.
His tone or something. It just sounds exactly the same. Jim Jordan tweeted just recently, doesn't matter what the Dems write, four facts will never change. One, the call transcript shows no linkage. Two, President Trump and President Zelensky both say there was no pressure. Three, Ukraine didn't know aid was held up at the time of the call. And four, Ukraine never took any action to get aid released. Then he says between July 18th, when aid was paused, and September 11th, when it was released, there were five interactions between President Zelensky and senior American officials. Aid was never tied to investigations in any of those discussions. And then he says two of the five meetings happened after Ukraine learned aid was paused. Vice President met with President Zelensky on September 1st. Senators Johnson and Murphy met Zelensky on September 5th. If ever the, quote, quid pro quo was going to come up, one of these two meetings would have been the time, but it didn't. So Representative Jim Jordan there making that statement. I listen to these politicians speak, and the way that they use words, the way that they present this information, you know, one of the things Adam Schiff just said there is he sees no reason to wait for all of the facts to come in because he feels as though the facts that they already have make it so apparent that this needs to move forward. The American people are not in any position right now to, at least in the polls that we have or the sentiment that is out there, to say that there is overwhelming evidence to move forward with this. So far, we probably could have 100% of Democrats who say move forward with this. But if you can't get the majority of the American people behind this, then you're playing with fire. And if your plan is to damage the president because you don't think you have a candidate going into 2020 that can beat the president, if your plan is to damage him now to try to maybe give a leg up to one of those individuals that is running, I don't think your plan is working.
Apparently, according to polls, even 10% of those who identify as Democrats are not sure whether we should go forward.
Yeah.
But is there a country in the world other than America whose food you will eat?
No. Only American food, which includes Mexican food, which includes Italian food, which includes Tex-Mex food, which includes Southern barbecue, Carolina barbecue, Kansas City barbecue. I sound like Bubba Gump.
What a patriot.
St. Louis barbecue.
Won't eat any other food other than American foreign food. Amazing.
It's like rent a foreign food. No, I'm not opposed to trying food from other places, but I just have a weird aversion to eating specific kinds of food. I won't eat meat off of a bone. I won't eat fried chicken, but I will eat chicken that is fried. No bone.
You'll eat chicken tenders is what you're saying.
Yeah, I said I eat like a child. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. It's Giving Tuesday. And Tony Colombo is the giver that we all need in our life.
I still hug dudes.
It's just ridiculous.
Hey, everybody.
Giving hugs to dudes.
Heck yeah.
Everywhere he goes. But
anybody,
no women.
Any dude that wants a hug.
He's a misogynist, sexist, won't hug women.
Nope.
Yep.
It's the other way around.
Did you hear we had Aubrey Huff on the show?
No.
From the San Francisco Giants. Two-time champion. He tweeted out a picture of him holding a target that he took his sons to the gun range.
Right. And I saw the story.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
We had him on to talk about it.
But what happened? Somebody came after him.
Lots of people came after him. He about doubled his Twitter following.
Nice.
No, he more than doubled it because he said he went from 14 and he added 17,000.
Yeah.
He tweeted out that if Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump and we now live in a socialist America, we're going to need our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
And you host Second Amendment radio here. So I'm imagining you're following a little bit of along with that. When's that on Saturdays?
Saturdays at 3.
Mm-hmm. And he just tweets out that he took his son to the gun range and that we will need our Second Amendment rights if Bernie wins more than ever. and Kathy Griffin was tweeting at him, and Tom Arnold, and Kenny Mayne, and all these people were tweeting at him, and he just, like, he has no shame in the way, he hits back twice as hard. It's a hilarious timeline to read, Aubrey_Huff. So it was pretty cool to have him on here.
That's great. I'm going to have to go to radio.com and download that podcast.
Look at you,
hear that interview.
Guess what yesterday was for me, aside from sick in bed day?
Yeah, I knew you weren't here.
Fast pass day.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Dang. That's awesome.
My husband and I are going for a long weekend to Disney World to check out their DVC program. And if that means nothing to you, then don't worry about it. But the point is that we're going to Disney World at the end of January. Part of our Christmas gift to each other, and we had to reserve our spots in line for the rides yesterday.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Just part of many of the planning things that go into going to Disney. And I wanted to remind you, since you said radio.com, that on Saturdays on our podcast, the Annie Fry Show podcast, which you can subscribe to at radio.com or iTunes or whatever, that we are uploading a Saturday issue episode to our podcast, and it's about Disney. And you've listened to it. Mm-hmm. You've heard it.
It's really good.
It's fun. And it's for people who either you could nerd out on it if you love Disney, but it's also if you've ever considered going to Disney World, it's probably for you because there's a vernacular. A
lot of good information.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been wondering if this is the thing for you and your family and are worried about how does it work and how much does it cost and
it's
can I
kind
really
of a language.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To be able to, you know, what if you heard me say Fast Pass and you're like, what the heck is that? It's what you call getting in line at Disney World. Ryan is going to be going in May.
Yeah, well, I am, but I've been listening to the podcast, and like Tony said, it helps you kind of make
Here
up your mind
stupid.
Whether you want to go or not. And the more I listen to the podcast, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't want any part of this.
Shut up.
I think I'm going to be a Universal guy.
Oh, yeah. Busch Gardens is down there somewhere, isn't it? We're going to be close.
No.
That's really good. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Fast pass day. That's really exciting.
So go check out the Pixie podcast, which is on Saturdays.
We're counting Saturdays. We're 54 Saturdays away.
Wow. Yeah. We're 54.
Yeah. Literally, we count Saturdays.
Do you have Signs of the Apocalypse today?
I do.
Fantastic.
Now, Signs of the Apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
Well done. So, you know, over here, it's like you think of Mexican food and Chinese food and Italian food. It's all like cool stuff.
Sounds delicious.
It's all good stuff. You
yeah,
know, it's
foreign
like,
food. Yum.
Some of it's good.
Right. Well, I mean,
it's not all good.
It's not embarrassing. In other parts of the country, American
food.
We were just talking about that story?
No, not about the story, but about
just
that
about
topic.
My
so,
childlike eating timely. Habits.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's perfect. So, in other parts of the world, American
like California?
Food. American food are things like this.
Uh-oh.
Papa John's has just introduced a new pizza that is only available overseas. It's the American hot dog pizza.
No!
And
that's
it's exactly,
offensive to my eating habits.
It's exactly what you think it is.
It's just hot dogs on pizza?
It's just hot dogs on pizza.
That sounds terrible.
Is it possible? Let's just set aside judgment for a minute. Is it possible that there is a way that that could taste good?
No. And you're also probably imagining the hot dogs cut up
like
pepperoni.
Pepperonis.
Oh, no? They're full hot
they're
dogs?
They're whole hot dogs.
Oh, gosh,
just
that's
laid
terrible.
Across the pizza.
I could do hot dog shavings on a
whole
pizza.
Whole hot dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Whole hot dogs.
Can one shave a hot dog?
The mozzarella cheese, of course. There's also some cheddar cheese on it. It also has Dijon mustard sauce and pickle relish on it.
If you make a hot dog, how do you eat it, Ryan?
Just ketchup and a bun.
Oh, what are you, six?
What? What
oh,
do
wait,
you do?
Mine's going to
be
worse.
You put chili and
how
cheese
eat,
on
how
it?
Do you eat your hot dog?
Mustard.
Just mustard?
Yeah.
Frank?
It depends. Ketchup sometimes, barbecue sauce, mustard. You know, depends on where things are.
Best hot dog you can have.
A lot of first graders running around here.
Just boiled and nothing else.
No, microwave. Ketchup and Velveeta.
Okay, that's cool.
Right?
I'm okay with the Velveeta.
Especially because if you go to a Cardinal game and you have the seats where you can get free food, they have nacho cheese available. Why would you not go ahead and put that on your hot dog?
I don't know.
Are you
it's
okay
nacho
with
cheese?
A chili dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, how are you supposed to eat a hot dog? I don't get
yeah.
this.
Okay, okay.
What, ketchup right. on so a hot crazy. Dog is just...
What? That's American.
No, it's not.
It's all American.
It's American no,
apparently,
first graders.
Hot dog pizza is American. That's
speaking
so
of which,
wrong.
What
Isn't
what else?
Isn't that embarrassing?
I mean, other than hamburgers and hot dogs, are we known around the world for anything else?
Probably not.
I mean, that's the ones that my kids ask me, what's American food?
Maybe barbecue.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe
I didn't
like
think about that
barbecue
one.
I was thinking barbecue chicken or pulled pork barbecue is where you were going with that. I did not see hot dogs.
Well, I made the case for pizza being an American food, but, you know, there's
Well,
there's
the
debate.
Way we eat it is definitely
exactly.
American food.
Exactly.
Just like Taco Bell is Mexican.
Right.
Right.
My
yeah.
favorite kind
so
of Mexican.
If you happen to be traveling not overseas really. Anytime soon, maybe check out the Papa John's American hot dog pizza.
Maybe
if
not.
You wanna
maybe not.
Get a really bad stomachache. Oreo has revealed what its mystery flavor was.
Hot dogs.
No.
No, it was Teddy Graham butterscotch or something. Cinnamon.
No. It's none of those things.
What?
Churro.
Oh. At Disney World, they have a churro marshmallow something I saw the other day.
Churro.
You can have that. Just churro.
I just ate the pack of those last
night. And the last one, like Fruity Pebbles?
I don't know. I just had the most recent one. They were very good.
Add Fruity Pebbles to your next batch of Rice Krispies. Carry on.
That's fantastic.
Or
that's
Cocoa Pebbles.
Speaking of first grade ideas.
Delicious.
Dictionary.com's word of the year is existential.
Oh, man. Ooh. Never mind.
Why they pick it? They say it had a huge spike in searches this year as people wonder how basically everything in our lives can or will continue to exist.
Which means somebody's using it two word and everyone's Googling it to
climate
find out
change.
Why it's too much.
Climate change has been called an existential crisis for Earth. Gun violence has been called an existential crisis for the United States. The rise of nationalism and fascism around the world has been called an existential crisis for democracy. So people are searching the word, and so dictionary.com has decided to make existential their word of the year.
Mike on Facebook says, believe it or not, I like beef hot dogs sliced on pizza, which I think is an existential threat to pizza.
Yeah, that's fair.
What do you do?
He likes beef hot dogs sliced on pizza.
Come on, is his palate so discerning that it has to be beef hot dogs?
What if you had a personal pan pizza and you folded it around a hot dog? Would you eat that? What if
like
it was
the,
just a
the
cheese?
Pizza was the bun?
Yeah, but what if it was a cheese pizza folded around a hot dog?
As long as
it
looked and
it.
Felt like a bun.
All of a sudden, you're reconsidering your options. I don't like the idea of hot dogs looking like they fell
Dijon
on top of a pizza.
Dijon mustard and pickle relish and all this other crap on
Maybe
it.
It's a mustard sauce instead of a tomato sauce.
If it's made
With
to
Velveeta
be
cheese.
A bun. Like if you're just taking
like
a personal
sauce.
Pan pizza and just wrapping it around a hot dog, that sounds like it's just going to be gross.
Like somebody... accidentally dropped a pack of hot dogs on
it
a Papa John's
like
pizza,
be,
and they're like,
it sounds
hey,
like it's
going to
be gross, but I'll give it a shot.
Mm. I would, too.
You guys
I mean,
are crapping
I know
on me
I mean,
for
look,
my eating
I'll
habits.
Do it right now.
I mean, I'd just give it a
Our
shot.
Our show's almost
I'm
over.
Right. I'm not saying I'd like it. I'm saying I probably wouldn't like it.
But you don't know.
Lisa says, it sounds intriguing. Small slices and browned, not icky raw. I don't know that they were ever raw. Gross. Raw hot dogs? I'll only eat beef hot dogs.
Can you really tell the difference between a beef hot dog and something made from other things?
In my mind.
Okay. But in your mouth?
You said other things. That's all I need to know.
Yes.
Chicken feet.
But if I gave you a hot dog and said, yeah, that's all beef, and was like, it's all beef, you wouldn't know.
I'd throw it at your face.
You wouldn't know.
You say microwave when you make a hot dog?
Roll it in a paper towel, put it in the microwave if it's in the fridge for 40 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not the
best. I don't mind microwave.
That's not the best way to eat the hot dog, but it's the fastest way to eat a hot dog.
And I don't mind it. And I also don't mind boiling it. Everybody has this big thing against boiling hot dogs.
I think it's
no
only because it leaves hot dog water behind.
Don't drink hot dog water.
Well, who drinks it? Do people drink it?
Plus, your hot dog's all wet.
I'm not promoting hot dog water.
It's time to go, folks.
Yeah.
Don't forget, you can get your HSA-covered chest rubs over the counter, according to HSA-eligible expenses.
You said chest rubs.
Yes, that's what it says.
No.
Vicks VapoRub.
Chest rub.
Vicks VapoRub.
Time's up.
Yeah, all right. Dave Glover Show coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.